You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Oh, thank you. Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a very busy show coming up for you today. After 10:30 news, Andra Watkins is a New York Times bestselling author. She also grew up in a Christian nationalist household, and she has some very interesting insights. A number of the people who wrote Project 2025, which is essentially the playbook now for the second Trump administration, are members of Christian nationalism. And they are now in the White House and in our government. So we're going to be talking about what some of their goals are. And this is related, at least I think, to something that happened recently about members of Congress who have recently given birth. We haven't had a chance to talk about this before, but there was a big dust up with Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, and one of his members. And we will get into that with Andrew Watkins after 10:33. Jim Santel will be here after 11. He is the host of Amicus, a law review across the network on Saturday mornings from 9 until 11. Going to be talking, among other things, about the number of judges who are ruling against the Trump administration and making him reverse course on some of these executive actions that he's taking because they're not legal.
Yep.
So we'll be talking to attorney Jim Santel, coming up after 11 o'clock, 11:33, J.R., a Journal Sentinel sports guru, J.R. Ratcliffe, will be joining us to talk. The Brewers have won.
What?
I know.
Oh, I knew that.
I know you did. You're into the Brewers. He will be here to talk all things sports, and we're going to wrap up the show today with this shouldn't be a thing. It is the Gobble Gobble edition with a video element, so stay tuned for that. That's coming up at the end of the show around 11:51. Just briefly, headline right now from CNBC, Dow drops 1,500 points.
Oh, my God.
S&P 500 loses 4% as stock market routes on Trump's tariff worsens. Of course, Donald Trump yesterday waiting until the markets closed, by the way.
Yeah.
He was supposed to originally make this announcement at 1 o'clock.
Yes.
And then pushed it back until 4 after the markets had closed to announce all of these massive tariffs that he is instituting. But don't worry, everybody. Harris Faulkner from Fox News has a message for all of us. Calvin, let's play that clip from Harris Faulkner on Fox, please.
And those 401k people who are depending, those retirees, all of that, just talking plain speak with them. Look, when this nation used to go to war, people in this country would support the war effort with their materials at home and making things for weaponry and all of that. We got to do 100% buy-in over this bumpy period. Just communicate.
Okay.
So we're at war.
Yeah.
But
this is tariff war, too.
And this seems to be a self-inflicted war.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
But according to Harris Faulkner, you 401k people, start a garden, get some chickens, you know, raise your own food. We're just got to suck it up for a couple years of pain, you guys. That's it.
Well, I want to play that clip for my mom because she is one of those 401k people.
Is she one of those people?
With the retirees. And, you know, I think I have a feeling my mom would say directly to Harris Faulkner's face, look, I stayed true. I stayed in it when the Republicans screwed up the economy many times before this, and I'll keep going because I have no other choice. It's
right.
Not like I have billions of dollars, you millionaire TV superstar.
But don't worry.
Telling people what to do.
You 401k people. 401k
people sounds like the just a mean thing to call someone. Almost poor, like calling them poor or something.
Well, as of today, you might be accurate. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to move on from that, though. I did want to do a little recap of the election, which just got wrapped up. Wasn't it nice watching TV last night, everybody? Without all of the political ads, it was revelatory. It was wow, this is what television used to be like before we were in an election season. But Dan Bice from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has a little recap column about the recent election. Winners and losers. Who were the winners and losers in the Wisconsin election, according to Daniel Bice? One of his biggest losers, co-president Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Spent a lot of money in Wisconsin.
Yes, he did.
Lots and lots of money in Wisconsin. We know it was at least $20, $21 million. But Dan Bice points out that we're not even including all of the money that he handed out to canvassers,
yep,
to door knockers, to people who would sign that petition against activist judges. They all got $20 apiece.
I think one group, America PAC, was paying, because we listened to that video of the door knocker. America PAC was paying people $25 an hour, which actually, hey, that's not bad. That's not bad at all. Good on Elon for paying him a living wage. And then there was the $20 to take the pledge.
Yes.
Then there was $100. Wasn't there $100 he was giving away to people too?
I'd have to look. It's confusing. He was throwing so much money around.
I mean, that's the thing, too, is if it's one thing we've learned about Elon, especially since the inauguration, is he has no plan for anything whatsoever. I mean, the fact that he is so successful leads me to believe that if it wasn't for Daddy's mineral mine in South Africa, he'd be just a dude.
Without a doubt. According to this column from, again, Daniel Bice in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, as one well-connected Republican put it, it was perfectly fine for Musk to level the financial playing field for Brad Schimmel by dumping more than $20 million into the race, but it was not okay for him to hand out $1 million checks and smaller amounts to others, treating the election essentially like a game show. This GOP operative said the optics were terrible and it hurt Brad Schimmel.
Once again, I'm not smart, Jane. So this GOP operative, who my guess is he probably supported Trump,
I'm assuming,
didn't like that Elon Musk treated our election like a game show to prop up and act as a what did Brad Schimmel say he was going to do?
He was going to be a support
system for the literal game show host that's president right now.
Yes,
he had to appeal to the people in the way they would take it. They would take attention towards it. Paying people this, of course, people are going to get involved that way. But then the next day, what was everyone saying? Elon Musk, Donald Trump. Oh, it was.
It wasn't about the Supreme Court race.
No.
It was about the constitutional amendment.
No, yeah.
That's really where their focus was. Which is hilarious. Another article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Lawrence Andrea with the byline: Brad Schimmel's double-digit Supreme Court loss might have been worse without Elon Musk. According to Ron Johnson. Ron Johnson checking in. That's kind of nice. We never see him. He's never here.
Ron, you here?
Are you here? No, he's not here.
He's not here.
It was all good. It was all good. Ron Johnson says Tuesday's result was a result of Trump derangement syndrome, which has now turned into Elon Musk derangement. Their base is ginned up, according to Rojo. They're over the top upset that Trump won, and so they're lashing out and responding. Rojo says it's very disappointing that more Wisconsin Republicans who voted for Trump last November apparently did not turn out Tuesday. We don't know that.
Well, it was like 2.1 million people turned out to vote in Wisconsin.
Yes.
So when you break down the population of Wisconsin, a good amount of people, and you can't tell me for a minute, a moment, a nanosecond, Mr. Johnson, that in that 2.1 million, the ones people who voted for Susan Crawford were not Republicans. There are Republicans in that vote. It's just not possible. If you look at the electoral map, every county swung a little bit left. Doesn't mean that she won every county.
No,
it just means a little bit, and for whatever that reason may be. But I think that's truly Wisconsin.
That's why we are the swingiest of the swing states.
We swing the biggest, baby.
We do swing. Also, and this I just think is the height of irony, Justice Rebecca Bradley, who is a conservative on Wisconsin Supreme Court, was asked about the election, the results of the election, Susan Crawford being elected. Let's play this clip, Calvin, please, from Justice Rebecca Bradley.
Why do you think Schimmel lost at the end of the day?
I think that we saw a ridiculous amount of money come in to this election, and I always defend the right of anybody to participate in speaking in elections, and of course that takes money to do it. But when you see $100 million plus being spent on one state Supreme Court race, that is telling you that the Democratic Party is buying another justice, just like they did with Justice Protasiewicz. It needs to stop. Otherwise, there is no point in having a court. This is what the legislature is supposed to do, to make political decisions based on policy. That is not what a court's supposed to do. And unfortunately, we're going to see this happening for at least the next several years.
How are you feeling about working with Susan Crawford on the Wisconsin Supreme Court?
I'm not looking forward to working with her because I think she's, as they have accused us of, and it's simply not true, she is bought and paid for by the Democratic Party. I challenge her to rule one time against the Democrats. I haven't seen that yet from any of my liberal colleagues. But having said that, I will work with her like I've worked with all of my other colleagues and get the work done.
The whole, the Democrats are bought and paid for, that is hilarious. That is hilarious.
I think that you, first of all, I want to apologize for the audio. I didn't realize that was a stereo mix or mono mix. But first of all, what a horrible thing to say. What a mean, like just nasty, mean, terrible thing to say about people. And then on top of it, you are literally doing what Mitch McConnell and Mike Johnson do all the time, which is, you take the facts and you switch them and you say them like they're truth and you're just like, but she's bought and sold by the Democrats. You're telling me that Brad Schimmel is bought and sold by the Republicans? How can you even prove that? I don't know, by $20 million from Elon Musk
from
alone.
From one human being.
From one human.
And I saw a chart yesterday that actually listed, because we hear again, George Soros money and all of that stuff. There is no comparison.
No.
There is no comparison to the amount of money that George Soros puts into these races compared to Elon Musk. Coming up, I have an idea.
Ooh.
That could be fun. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. 2 days left for our statewide text to win contest. You could win either a Chula Vista getaway, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, great seats, or $100 cash. And every entry gets you into the grand prize drawing, a brand new queen size mattress set from Verlo. Our next chance with the word of the hour coming up after the 11 o'clock news.
Indeed.
You're going to want to text it in via the Civic Media app, and you will be in the running for one of those great prizes. So join us after the 11 o'clock news. We had a couple texts come in that I just wanted to share quickly before we move on. We were talking about Justice Rebecca Bradley on the Wisconsin Supreme Court saying that, oh, yeah, Susan Crawford's bought and paid for. You know, the elections are bought and paid for. This is a terrible thing. Lori from Shawano says, you Citizens United was a conservative baby, and now that it benefits Democrats a little bit, in a little bit once in a while, those same people are now crying about it. Are they okay with striking down Citizens United? Lori, that's a great, great point and a great question. And I think no. I think they would probably, that they're just fine with Citizens United, provided it works in their favor.
We have a new one. It's called Citizens United, but for conservatives only.
Only, yeah. And Edward also texting in, Maggie. Edward, this is Jane. My name is Jane. But, and I love that you're confusing me with Maggie. I wish I were as brilliant as Maggie. But this thing in the great people of Wisconsin showed we are fed up with the clown that doesn't do anything but sabotage the United States of America. I do think there were a fair amount of Republicans that voted for Susan Crawford. I do.
I ran some numbers while we were in the last segment. Half of the available registered voting population in Wisconsin voted, and they voted totally. In that number, you break it up, 55% of them voted for Susan Crawford. In that 55%, you cannot tell me with a straight face that none of them were Republicans.
I agree. All right. Thank you for those comments. We don't have a whole lot of time on this, but I think this could be fun.
Jane has an idea.
I do have an idea. So in Alabama, according to WBHM Radio, in Alabama, they've started a trend. Cardboard cutouts now stand in for elected leaders at town halls. Remember Flat Stanley?
Yeah.
Remember the Flat Stanley craze?
Oh, yeah.
And everybody would print out this, you know, flat picture of Stanley and take him all over the world and take pictures of him. Well, now in Alabama, Birmingham residents had a question for their Republican representative. He didn't show up. So they had cardboard cutouts to stand in for Senators Katie Britt and Tommy Tuberville.
Oh, Katie Britt. Remember her?
Yes. Who could forget the Stepford senator?
President Biden.
So I'm just thinking, because we do have some elected officials in Wisconsin who don't like to apparently talk to their constituents face to face.
Yeah.
I think we need some cardboard cutouts, you guys. Come on.
Let's see. We're gonna put an order in for Derek Van Orden.
Speaking of, from News 8000, Derek Van Orden to seek re-election as fellow Republicans ponder path forward after the Supreme Court election. Derek Van Orden, Republican, of course, not known for showing up to talk to his constituents. He has more of a habit of setting a date and a time and then moving it at the last minute.
He's only interested in showing up and yelling at his constituents.
He does like that. He does like that. I think we should have some flat Derricks.
Yes.
And take him to town halls around Wisconsin. Or whoever your representative is who does not want to show up and talk to you. I think this is an opportunity, you guys, and I think it could be fun.
Actually, I want to do something. This is a Matt and Air on Air exclusive. Mm. I want to put the call out to flat Van Orden. I know you're there. I'd like you to come on our show if you have the guts and be interviewed by Jane and myself. And we want to talk to you about your policies. We want to talk to you about your legislative record. We want to talk to you about the things you're doing for your district, Wisconsin, America. So that's the challenge I'm putting out to Flat Van Orden.
To Flat Van Orden?
Flat Van Orden. Just, you're out there.
Just consider it.
Just, hey.
It's just a thought.
I'll bring coffee.
We'll include these articles in the show notes.
Absolutely.
Maybe you will get inspired in your area in Wisconsin if your representative just doesn't seem to want to come face-to-face with their constituents.
John, on the text, listening to WAUK, very, very, very good suggestion. Maybe Derek would show up if we held them at a bar.
You might be onto something, John. Jack from Merrimack is on the line. Good morning, Jack. Thanks for joining us. What do you want to say about this?
Very quickly, the thing about money in this last election, is there really a false equivalency? As you pointed out, nobody came even close to the amount of money that Musk put into the election. But not only that, there's two other things as well. First of all, Schimmel was very clear. He said, I want to be elected to the Supreme Court so I can promote the Musk-Trump presidency agenda.
Yep.
And just incidentally, Musk also has a case involving dealerships in the Wisconsin courts that will probably end up before the Supreme Court.
Yep.
So there's nothing even close. This is just the old, right out of the fascist playbook, as Joseph Goebbels, who was Hitler's minister of propaganda stated, accuse the other side of that of which you are guilty.
Absolutely. You're so right, Jack. Appreciate it. Thanks for checking in.
And that's something I want to ask Jim is, you know, I've been tracking elections for a long time, but maybe he can tell me that I'm wrong. But I don't think there's been a judge's race, at least, where the candidate has just come out and said, oh, I'll help.
I'm here for the administration, for the presidential administration. Yeah.
It's not about partisan. It's not about impartiality. It's about that guy's agenda.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that might be a first.
I think it is.
It absolutely might be a first.
Let's make it a last.
Anyway, let's consider the flat Derrick idea.
I really love this idea.
You know, just a big cardboard cutout of your representative who refuses to show up. Take him to some town halls. Take him around. Show him the state.
Dress him up.
And share pictures with us.
Yes, please.
When we return, Andra Watkins, New York Times bestselling author, will be with us. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Backwood Sam played a juggalo game. Dice got switched, Sam got blamed. Cool gun, shout out the light. Everybody holler, run for your life. Oh, Backwood Sam, you're always in the jam. Backwood Sam went on a spree. Mad a good way, 603. Spent all his money, sold all his land. The next thing she did, she got another man. Oh, Blackfoot Sam, you're always in a jam.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. She is a New York Times bestselling author, and she grew up in a Christian nationalist household. And we are delighted to have her back. We're going to have this more of a regular appearance with Andra Watkins is joining us. Good morning, Andra. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you today?
We are good. Wisconsin in a pretty good mood. I know that you have a Wisconsin connection. Your husband actually is from Wisconsin. And in our email exchange, you mentioned our big election on Tuesday with Susan Crawford. Now moving on to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That's a big victory here in Wisconsin.
Yes, it was excellent. Michael talked to his mother at length about it. She proudly voted for Susan Crawford.
Excellent.
So we were really excited too.
This is a big deal. I mean, when we were talking about this leading up to the election, this was kind of the template for Elon Musk. I think that if this had worked in Wisconsin, this was going to be the same thing he is going to take to states around the country to essentially try and buy their elections.
I agree, and I'm so relieved that the people of Wisconsin were smart enough to say that's not what we want and rejected it very, very resoundingly.
Yeah.
It wasn't a small defeat for him.
No, 10 points in Wisconsin is huge.
That's Wisconsin telling him something.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. So, yeah, it was a pretty good mood in Wisconsin, at least for a day. We were pretty happy for a day.
No, I'm still happy. It still feels good. And we've talked about this before with Jane, and we have to believe, because this was a decisive victory like it was 2 years ago with the last judges race we had, that there are people in the voting mix who probably voted for Crawford, who also voted for Trump, who said, no, a federal level is one thing, but we don't need this in our state. We don't want that here. Just keep your money, keep your big check.
Yeah. As we heard from one woman was quoted on one of the major networks, and she just essentially said, Elon and all his money ruffled her feathers, which I just thought was such a Wisconsin thing to say. It was perfect. It was just perfect. Again, it's like, yeah, good for you. You got your millions.
Yeah.
We don't care. Go away.
Yeah.
Essentially. So anyway.
Yeah, my mother-in-law was a lot more colorful about him. We won't put that here.
I love your mother-in-law. She Get her on the show. That'd be great. Andra, tell us a little bit about your background for people who do not understand what it was like growing up in a Christian nationalist household.
Okay, so if you can't tell from listening to me talk, I'm from South Carolina. I spent my whole life in the South. And so I grew up in the buckle of the Bible Belt in a moral majority era Christian nationalist Baptist church in a small town in South Carolina. And I was sent to their segregationist school from kindergarten through 12th grade. So I was indoctrinated in the language and the thought process that Christian nationalists are foisting on America today with their Christo-Fascist Manifesto, Project 2025. So last year, I started dissecting that document and that language for Americans, trying to say, you know, this is not the government you want, Americans. We don't want to live in a Christo-fascist theocracy, and that's what this is creating. Unfortunately, the majority of Americans chose that either by voting for it or by not voting at all. Yep. So here we are today.
And it is important to understand, as you said, Andra, a number of the authors of Project 2025, including Russ Vogt, who is now, and he was one of the main authors of this. Russ Vogt is now the head of the Office of Management and Budget in the Trump administration. So these actors, these Christian nationalist actors, are now within this administration.
Yes. And while people want to say that the president is too scattered or too impulsive to implement these policies, a person like Russ Vogt is absolutely not. He is strategic. He is intelligent. He is ruthless. And so the president has surrounded himself with people like that who are writing these executive orders for him and advising him from Project 2025 about what they want to tackle next to undo our democracy and install a fascist government.
And in fact, there have been several moves already that are directly out of Project 2025 that Trump has already implemented or written executive orders for.
Yes, the tariff announcement yesterday, Project 2025 delved extensively into tariffs. They primarily focused on China. It was nothing like what got announced yesterday. So yesterday's announcement was really devastating in terms of tariffs. And the goal would be to devastate the United States economy. And that sort of unrest and uncertainty can accelerate this kind of regime change that they're trying to bring about.
One of the elements of Project 2025 and the whole Christian nationalist movement is a particular interest to me as a woman, because I think there are things in this that a lot of folks are not aware of. And it kind of came to a head earlier this week with someone who is actually a Republican. Anna Paulina Luna is a representative from Florida, and she recently had a child and wanted to make a change so that House members who are new parents, both male and female, could vote by proxy for 12 weeks. If you get maternity leave, that it's usually 12 weeks. That's kind of standard. And so all she's asking is that for those first 12 weeks after either giving birth or being the partner of someone who gave birth, that you can vote by proxy for those 12 weeks. And there is major pushback from Mike Johnson and other Republicans about this. It did not go the way the Speaker of the House had hoped, because actually some Republicans sided with this representative. So he essentially took his ball and went home for the rest of the week. But I think it's important for us to look at how these Christian nationalists in particular view women's role, because to them, women shouldn't really have a role in government, should they?
A woman's only role in society, according to Christian nationalists, and they allude to this in Project 2025 several times, is as a wife and mother in the home. So in their mind, the greatest traditional family structure is one man married to one unrelated woman, and they have as many children as God gives them. So that is the structure of traditional family that they are trying to foist upon America. Part of the executive order and the undefunding of Title X and Planned Parenthoods goes toward this goal of pushing people into religious types of organizations to get family counseling and reproductive care, which will be anti-contraception, will be pro-marriage, will be anti-divorce, will be anti-sex education of any kind. So that is another example from recent news of this type of thinking and treatment of women. It's delicious to me to watch Representative Luna struggle with this because she's so indicative of how women on the left align themselves with this and think because they're helping it and because they're supporting it, these men will protect them, that somehow they will be exempted from these draconian decisions and the taking away of women's rights. And so she learned a really valuable lesson this week that that is not the case. And she taught that to some Republican women, hopefully, who are paying attention.
But you know what I saw? Marjorie Taylor Greene jumped all over her for this, essentially saying, if you're not up to the job and if you can't juggle, you know, your new baby and all that stuff, then you don't belong in Congress because Marjorie Taylor Greene made it work. And therefore, you should find a way to make it work. So I don't think there were any Republican women that voted with her on this. I think they were all men. Out of the 9 Republicans that voted with her, they were all men.
Well, and that's something that we should applaud those men for. But also, I've written a lot about how women in the Republican Party and in Christian nationalism are trained to view other women. So Marjorie Taylor Greene's reaction is a perfect example of what I mean by envy. Women in that camp are driven by their envy and regret. So they make decisions based on how can I punish other women who were trying to get things that I've never been able to have because I had to go along with my conservative Christian nationalist environment. So I denied myself these things. I had babies I didn't want. I didn't have the ability to take off. I had to work, or I came home and stayed home with my baby, or whatever it is that they're talking about. And so they've watched other women for decades be able to have abortions and go to college and have careers. And so now these women are very adamant and are going to enjoy taking rights away from women because they didn't have them. And since they didn't have them, they don't want any other woman to have them either.
I want you to suffer. I want you to suffer like I had to suffer.
Yes. And so it's a very mean girl's mentality that gets drilled into these women in this Christian nationalist camp, especially. I used to think that way when I was in it. You relish making other women not have opportunities because you don't think you can have them or you actively have not had them. And so it's enjoyable to these women to take those rights away from other women. And they feel like somehow they won't be punished and that these men won't somehow turn on them for doing that.
That was my exact question, because you both said it just before this answer got started, is that even though they know that in the Christian nationalist doctrine, they are nothing more seen as mothers and wives and servants to their husbands, they still hold a glimmer of hope that they are going to be seen as, like, if these are the women who are the servants, they're just a little bit above, so they get some sort of special privilege, which ultimately they have to know in the back of their minds that that's never going to happen, because those Christian nationalist men will do whatever they can to sell them out to make sure they have no power whatsoever. Because that's just – because right. You're not meant to have power. That's not me, Greg. I'm not saying that. God's saying that, Andrew. God said that. Not me. I'm a good guy, but what can I do? You can't be a congressperson anymore.
Well, and that's what's so insidious and what hasn't been talked about a lot with this is that they were trying to get her and others to sign on to the SAVE Act, which will dramatically reduce women's ability to vote because women will have to have a birth certificate or a passport that matches their name, their legal name. And since so many women change their names to their take married names in America, a lot of women will be disenfranchised by the SAVE Act, and many Americans don't know that. So that was one of the conditions they put on this, which would in effect endanger people like Anna Paulina Luna from running for office in the first place and holding public office at all.
That is the one good thing, I guess, about Mike Johnson taking his ball and going home after they bested Anna Paulina Luna and the other Republicans and the Democrats bested him, at least in this instance, because they were supposed to vote on the SAVE Act today.
Yes.
Yeah, that was supposed to happen today. They will bring it back.
Yeah.
But at least for now, it delayed it and hopefully is going to give us a little more time to get the word out about what you just said, Andra, about the fact that the SAVE Act, again, ostensibly about voter security and all of that, which is all a lie. They want to limit who gets to vote. And women tend to vote more Democratic than men do. So they better do something to squash those votes. And this is one way that they're going to be able to go about it. We're going to continue our conversation with Andra Watkins. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
I'm now sad too much. I haven't said enough. I thought that I heard you laughing. I thought that I heard you sing. I think I thought I saw you try. But that was just a dream. Try.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our resident young person, Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. You can call or text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform Elon continues to actively ruin. We are joined by Andra Watkins, a New York Times best-selling author and also kind of our touchstone for insight yes. into the Christian nationalist movement, because Andra was raised in that household and was schooled that way for a long time. And right before we went to break, Andra, we were talking about the SAVE Act that they were supposed to be voting on today. And again, this is all allegedly in the effort of voter integrity and voter, you know, security and all that stuff. The SAVE Act will make it much more difficult for married women who did not legally have their name changed to vote. So if you got married and you just took his name and started using his name, and that's what's on your driver's license, if your driver's license does not match your birth certificate, you're going to have a tougher time voting going forward if they pass the SAVE Act.
That is my understanding. So you have to have an official document that has your given name at birth on it. I didn't take my husband's name when I married, because his name is so difficult to say, and my first name is so difficult to say. So I kept my maiden name. So I don't have this problem, but I still have been telling my readers for months to order copies of their birth certificates. I was born in a red state. I ordered 15 or 20 official copies of my birth certificate months ago, because I don't know when they're going to tell me you have to have a birth certificate to prove that you are who you say you are. And so I ordered them despite the fact that my name is the same as it was when I was born. Women who have taken their husband's name need to have that birth certificate to show that they are who they say they are, that this is, I can legally produce this document when you ask for it. And if they make it a requirement with the SAVE Act, then how much do you want to bet that in red states, it'll suddenly be so much harder for women to get that thing?
That's a really good point.
So go ahead and get it now.
That's a really, really good point, Andra. And the other thing, too, is they are very likely to reject a copy of the birth certificate.
Right.
They want the original. They want an original that's going to have that raised seal on it.
Right. And so I ordered 15 or 20 copies of mine. And I strongly encourage women who are listening to do that today. If you're close to Milwaukee, you can go to Milwaukee and pick it up, probably for a very small fee. If you're not, you can order them online.
But you make a great point, especially for women in red states. All of a sudden, there's going to be a big slowdown and a big backlog in women trying to get their copies of these. And it could take months and months and months and months.
Right. And that's by design.
Yeah.
So I did want to come back and point that out before we moved on to another discussion topic.
I think the other thing you're going to hear a lot of people saying, too, is I didn't expect this was going to happen, which we hear more and more every day. But Andrew, I wanted to ask you a question, because in that first segment, what you were talking about with, there was a lot of just the being a woman in Christian nationalism, what's expected, what you are and viewed as. And I'm sure in a perfect world in Christian nationalism, a woman can be who she is, a mother, a wife, a servant to God, perfectly and happily, wake up every day with a purpose, go to bed every night, feeling like they've done something wonderful for their religion. But we're humans. And I'm wondering, how do women in Christian nationalism cope? Is there a higher sense of alcoholism? Is there drug use? It just feels like there's such a heavy, hard burden on women to exist within this organization that nobody's perfect and people bend and break. What have you viewed in your experience?
I believe a lot of women in Christian nationalism become overt and covert narcissists. It's more likely that they become covert narcissists because women are supposed to present as sweet and benign in Christian nationalism, but they engage in a lot of narcissistic abuse to keep other women in line, to feel powerful themselves, to feel like they're in control of something, because that's a lot of what narcissism is about feeling like you have control over your sphere. So I believe it causes a lot of that kind of mental and emotional abuse behaviors in women. I was a child and a teenager when I was in it. So if there were women who were alcoholics or who were abusing drugs or who were morbidly depressed and contemplating suicide, I wouldn't have known things like that. And if women carried out some of those things, we wouldn't have talked about it at church at all.
Right.
The only therapy that women were given was read the Bible and pray and try harder.
Well, and because, again, everything is the fault of the woman in Christian nationalism.
Yes, because Eve ate the fruit first and sinned first and tempted Adam to fall with her. And they literally interpret that and believe that's why women deserve to be second-class citizens for all time.
Yeah. And you know why the snake offered the apple to Eve? Because if he had offered it to Adam, Adam never would have found it. I've told my husband to go in the fridge and get some milk, and he can't find it because you have to move one thing over. So that's why the snake said, here, take this, because he'll be looking forever. He'll never find it
anyway.
And
he won't ask for directions, but up cheese.
Exactly. Andrew Watkins has a great Substack called For Such a Time as This. We will include that in our show notes. Follow her, subscribe. We're going to have Andrew back in a couple months. Thank you so very much for your time. It's so insightful. Andrew Watkins has been our guest. Take care, my friend. News is coming up next. When we return, it is our statewide Text to Win Break into Spring contest. And Jim Santel will be here from Amicus, a law review. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.